Hi, I'm Josh Becker, writer-director of this picture.
Hello there, I'm Bruce Campbell.
So this entire front montage was shot by David Wirth, the director of photography, during production, but he never told me why he was shooting it. It was a mystery, and I didn't find out until I saw it what all these extra shots were.
And was this shot in Bulgaria as well?
Yes, this was. He did it at the beginning and ends of all the scenes.
Well, as people saw, you can see that this is a sci-fi production. Josh and I went down to Bulgaria. This was when, Josh, last...
A year ago.
Yeah, which would be 1904, right?
Yes.
In Sofia, Bulgaria.
Which, because the story takes place in Oregon, we searched the world to find a place that was very much like Oregon, and we found that Bulgaria was the most like it.
Like this. This looks very much like Oregon.
Yes.
Eastern Oregon. Now, these creatures, Josh, who's behind the creatures?
That is Gary Jones, was the creature designer. And the fellow who did this front title did a very nice job. I don't remember his name, but I rather like this.
Now, Gary Jones goes back a ways. How far back did... you've known Gary since when?
Gary, the first appearance of Gary Jones is in 83 on your picture, Crime Wave. He was an ND driver.
Right, in the background. And he sort of wrangled various vehicles in the background, too, and then got into special effects. And so he's the second unit director of this.
And, yeah, creature designer, creature builder. So we just went past. We started on a close-up back there of on the eyes of Remy Franklin, Remington Franklin, the son of the executive producer.
And I believe this is his big sort of intro to movies, is it not?
I believe it is.
This is his and introducing Remy Franklin movie. Now, this music we hear, of course, is the great Joe LaDuca.
Who has done every single thing I've ever shot. Wait, I want to discuss this. I asked for a puff of dust. I asked Gary and Boom Boom, remember Boom Boom Mancini?
Yeah, right, the mechanical effects guy.
Right, for a puff of dust. And they went out and blew up 35 bags of cement with 20 sticks of dynamite.
20 sticks of dynamite?
So it looks like the ship is crashing into the earth and going all the way to China.
Wow, the good news is it's in a quarry. And
oh, yeah,
and
here we go.
Every day.
We've got all our producers.
Yes.
None of whom we ever met. These guys we met.
Now, these outfits were custom made in Sofia, and it was kind of interesting to go in to get fitted because it was above a shop, and it was sort of like a sweatshop of these about a dozen old Bulgarian women who didn't speak any English. So we poked and prodded each other, and they showed me different fabrics. And I went back two or three times, and I sort of had to guide them through what actors need in their outfits, which in my case is, you know, shoulder pads and trying to make my fat ass look good.
And being able to walk.
Yeah, being able to walk, being functional and all that. And so, Josh, obviously you told them what you needed in the suit.
The suit is a direct steal from the 1968 Planet of the Apes.
But I think it's pretty groovy. I like the short waistcoats. Now, of course, we're forgetting Renee here.
Yes, Renee O'Connor, the wonderful Renee O'Connor.
Now, when's the last time you had worked with her?
On Xena.
Years
2001.
Wow.
Because I did the third to the last Xena episode.
So it actually wasn't that long in between then.
3 years.
And I know that definitely it was the... I think the second you mentioned her name, it made immediate sense for her to play this part. And I think she was ready to kind of work again, you know, since Xena, to get going again. It was great to have her on because you just knew that she would, she's Renee, she's completely professional.
Yeah, wonderful person to have around. And I think between having you and her, that's what made the film a success.
Now, you got to tell the story of the guy, the other astronaut, Michael, the actor.
Michael Corey Davis, who is the captain, let's see, he didn't even read, he just came in and spoke to me, and I said, you're cast in, as the lead, as the captain of the astronauts, will you cut your dreads? And he went, no.
But we should clarify, this guy lives in Sofia, he's an American who lives there, he works so much in his current look. He has employed so much in American movies, he doesn't have to change his look. He doesn't care if he's an astronaut, a butcher, a candle maker. He's not going to change his hair.
Not to mention he scores all the time. He's like the most popular guy in Bulgaria. So I say, will you cut your dreads? He says, no. And I said, fine, then astronauts in the future have dreads.
You're hired.
Yeah. And that was that. And then, of course, the other actress... You had, in fact, it's, did we just pass it? Of the, trying to get her to respond.
No, it's coming up.
Oh.
I'm about to punch her.
Yes.
Radiation. We're all getting cancer right now.
Right here.
I can feel it.
Now, obviously, this isn't her real voice, that actress.
Yeah, Bruce really slugs her there, having tried a couple of times previously to act, and she wasn't into that.
She got really upset. She got upset at me, and I think Josh, too, because in earlier takes, she felt I was not doing enough to get her attention. I was pinching her, and I pinched her harder, and then she got mad and said basically that I was a wuss, that I didn't know how to do this. It was ranting in Bulgarian, so the next take, I just punched her in the arm, and that seemed to get her attention.
And here's some of our bounty hunters with their... Now, the bounty hunter on the right, Jonas Talkington.
Yes.
With the excellent beard.
He's Yosemite Sam.
He came to Bulgaria with the Peace Corps. And they actually tricked him because he thought he was going to a South Sea island and ended up in Bulgaria and has since been in 15 movies.
Right, because he realized they were making movies, and his resume is longer than mine now. But he plays like radar technicians, and apparently he's been killed in almost like 90% of what he's been in.
Now, this actress, whose name escapes us, she was so scared about having this squib on her that she began to cry about an hour before we shot this and didn't stop crying. That's not her in the second shot. That's a double.
And unfortunately, we had to shoot her.
Yeah. She wouldn't stop crying, so we had to shoot her.
These shackles are fun. Because what happens is you have to get in a little bit of a cadence, and if you don't, and either way, if you get in a cadence, you look a little retarded in them.
Well, you'll see in the next shot coming up, they really do look retarded coming up the road.
Now, this was a rock quarry outside of Sofia, and to get there, we had to go past the brick factory that made the entire valley like kind of an orange haze. It was beautiful.
But it is lovely.
It is lovely. Very green, very lush. They do have nice mountains. Sofia, I think, means between two places. And it's in this lovely valley with great mountains around it.
It means stuck between a rock and a hard place. So this is actually almost right in Sofia, this whole complex. And so much of the film was shot in a big park right in Sofia, where they've shot many movies, like a central park.
Yeah, you wouldn't really know. It's a very dense woods, and when we were there, I mean, basically the trees were bursting out, so it was hiding everything, so it was pretty handy for that.
You see the outfits. They actually did. It was a sawmill, real sawmill, and all this equipment is really there, really cutting wood, so that was handy, getting that.
Right, because that was your key set was a sawmill.
But I asked for leather aprons and leather pants on all the workers there and ended up with vinyl, which is kind of
all the rage in Sofia.
Right. Vinyl's very much like leather, but a little different.
Now, I want to say something, Josh, and I apologize in advance for this.
Go ahead.
I stole a lot of your actors for Man with a Screaming Brain.
I appreciate it.
I'm sorry. You led the way. I thank you publicly. I used, I think, probably a half a dozen of your actors in key roles because on the set, I could watch them. Like this guy here, who plays the manager, I thought, he's perfect for my mayor. And so the whole time during your shoot, and again, I apologize, I was thinking, who could I get? This guy's fine. I'll use him as this guy. So thank you.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm
happy to do it. His beard seems to, mustache is coming off in this one.
But he's damn sexy in those vinyl pants.
That's right.
Take these three of the loading dock and get them working.
Good looping.
Perfect synchronization. Works every time.
I still hear, oh, get them working.
Yeah, in the dailies, of course, it's, what are you doing, friend? Go on over there, buddy. It was a difficult task because that was one of the problematic things about shooting in a different country, that if you don't have a lot of actors there who can speak, quote-unquote, with an American accent, then you have to replace it. So, Josh, what percentage would you say has been replaced in this movie?
7/8, 9/10, something.
The only ones would be probably...
You and Renee and...
And Jonas Talking.
No, they replaced him, too.
Oh, did they? Really?
Yeah.
He had been in Bulgaria too long. He lost his American accent.
I kind of like the fact you don't see very often in anything anymore whole sequences that take place without dialogue.
And without faces.
And,
yeah.
Just because it was forced on you guys to have to play these scenes. So,
He's perfect for the mayor.
Who the?
You can't stop working.
Now, Josh, the weather was pretty good, right? It rained how many out of the
I'd
day?
Say it rained the whole last week.
Yeah.
But the first 2 weeks were nice.
And
mostly.
It really helped everything look lush, and I think the colors were really good. It kind of
even when it's raining, though, it still looks good on
right,
film.
Right, because it washes all the pollution off everything.
Now, in this bit here, Jonas comes in by himself. Now, watch, he'll step out, and he and the guy with the blonde, Goldie, are there. They forgot to schedule Goldie that day.
Oh, they called him Goldie, that's right.
Yeah, the blonde-haired guy.
So he just disappeared.
Right, this guy was overacting like few people overact. I really finally had to say, bring it down 99.9%, and he's still overacting. Now, the bug house is a fascinating exterior. That's real. It's over 2 stories tall. Most of our budget went into that.
And that's what kills me. When you look at it, it does look real, but it looks like it could have been put there, too. So it's crazy that it's actually real.
Yeah. Well, why spend that much? But it's a great job, I think. George Costello, the production designer, did a great job with very little money. This set here is so small, this hallway.
You have to step outside to change your mind.
That's right. And it still looks pretty good, I think. Nice lighting for Mr. David Wirth.
The bug house. Now, David Wirth goes back a ways.
David Wirth shot 2 of Clint Eastwood's pictures, Bronco Billy and Any Which Way You Can. He also shot Sheldon Lettich's and Jean-Claude Van Damme's Bloodsport.
Oh, he shot Bloodsport?
Yeah.
He is probably one of the fastest directors of photography I've ever worked with.
Ever.
You go to walk, I would start to walk back to my trailer and we'd hear, "We're ready." He's really a no-nonsense director of photography.
And an honest-to-God movie fan. Now, this shot here is my homage to The Godfather. It's the first time you see The Godfather, you come in over his shoulder and he points like that. And Tom Hagen gets the guy a drink. So, this is the rubber puppet from behind. And these are digital effects. I think they match pretty well.
And it's handy, too. Obviously, you have to take some care in the regular shots with us to make sure that there's sort of a haze in the room, which helps match, you know, the effects versus, you know, the real stuff.
Now there's, 4 people out of frame running the puppet to make it move. This is the digital effect in front, but the back of the head had throbbing veins in it. The hand moves, mouth moves, little twitcher gizmos move.
And you always have to have it liquidy so that it's always the KY jelly spread all over the back of it. You're speaking gibberish.
Right. I like getting pushy with aliens.
Give me the information. You hear me? Are you deaf?
Now, with all due respect to Michael Corey Davis, who I thought was great, his comment was, of course the black character has to get killed right away. And my comment was, this wasn't written for a black character, so it's just coincidental.
Oh, boy. Sci-Fi Channel is loving that.
Oh!
That was a good mush sound effect when he hit. I like that.
Oh, there, I like when it goes down the
stairs. Now, you know what I like, Josh, is that it's a good sort of red herring, because my character, Ivan, who, of course, you should probably tell us the name of the character.
Yes, the Ivan the Osteopath is based on Sam Raimi's older brother, Ivan Raimi, who's an osteopath. So,
but what I like is that, you know, he's a doctor. He's not a soldier, and he's sort of a wise ass. And what I like about it is that, you know, with Michael, he's the strong one. He's the leader. I'm the captain. What's going on here? I want answers. And the audience, I'm sure it's would basically think, oh, okay, so this is the guy in charge. And then you bite his head off. I think it's a good story thing, because then you go, we're left with these two.
The finger bowl. That's what the effects guys called it. finger. Fingers.
Yummy.
But yeah, once his head gets bitten off, then Renee's in charge. Then it goes, you're last.
Now, Josh, the original
good doors, aren't those great doors?
I think they work very well. They're very bug-like as well.
Yeah.
But this project goes back to when?
I came up with the idea in 88 or 89. Wrote it down, and then I pitched it to Lawrence Bender, who would then go on to produce Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, Reservoir Dogs, and every other Quentin Tarantino movie, and we almost had a deal, and then it dropped dead. Then I resurrected it 2 years later for Rob Tappert, producer of Herc and Xena, and it looked like it was going to fly for a second, and then it dropped dead, and then it resurrected itself 15 years later.
I mean, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the
problem. So it's almost as old as The Man with the Screaming Brain.
I know, and what's funny is that the two movies were shot back-to-back, so between the movies, mine took 18 years to make, yours was, 16 or something. I think it was like 70 years to get these two movies made.
But it was good for both of us, I think, to download them out of our brains.
Absolutely. They've been floating around in our heads forever. And it really was a good cleansing experience.
Dun, dun, dun. Now, I thought a commercial would go there, but...
But no. Now where are we, Jess? You got to explain where we are.
Now we're down in the slave cellar. This was Renee's very first day shooting, the very first shot. And I asked her to play everything with a... Texas accent, because she's from Austin, Texas.
Right, so she could actually be allowed to do her native.
And she does this day and never did it again. So she says, like, we'll sit by the biggest far. And
never again.
I guess she didn't. She felt a Texas accent was too difficult. She looks great in that outfit.
I mean, she looks great in that flight suit. I'll tell you, I've got a line that says it, and I meant it when I said it. There's no question about it. Now, this area where we shot, though, Josh, you got to explain where we filmed, though.
Well, this is in the basement, the cruddy, horrible basement of the television offices where we were, even though they had beautiful sound stages that were not being used, we weren't allowed to use them.
It was complicated, Josh, please.
Okay, all right. So we were down in these dank, dark cellar where we actually had to have real Bulgarian policemen to allow us in there. And then once you got all the way down there, you found that an entire wall was missing and anyone could go in and out, including dogs.
And it was completely overgrown in the courtyards. It really looked, when you would take a break to go get a tea down there, you'd walk away from the set and you'd look out, and it looked like a giant bomb had hit the middle of the building 25 years ago and had overgrown with a jungle since, in like a bombed out courtyard. And then you'd go back into film. This was something that had machines that were up on blocks that had been leaking for like 70 years. If OSHA had come in here, they would have slapped the mother of all fines on this place. It was one of the dankiest, stankiest, depressing places you'd ever want to shoot.
So that's where we shot, of course, with beautiful sound stages in the same building, which we couldn't use. So,
and the secret is, Josh, on the next film, Screaming Brain, we snuck in there on a Saturday to shoot in one of those stages. You just had to sneak in.
Right. So this character, Jeff, who I enjoyed this actor very much, whose name I can't remember, Tony, his name was Tony, but his voice is the voice of George Groves, the sound supervisor, who did a pretty good job looping him, I thought.
And he's got a lot of dialogue, too.
In close-up.
Yeah. And that's a difficult thing. That's why, in many cases, replacing so much dialogue, it can be very tricky because there's a lot of stuff to do. And then the other option, too, is trying to match the age and, if you care to, match the pitch, whatever.
Now, if I had been there for the color timing, this shot of the hand would have been brought down at least a stop more. That's a rubber hand there, if no one noticed. And I would have made it darker. But this looks really good, this transfer we're looking at.
Anyway, the aliens got camps like this in every wooded parts of the world.
And I think the woman to the right there could speak English.
She was American, and she also was there with the Peace Corps. And, of course, if you go to Romania or Bulgaria with the Peace Corps, you end up being in low-budget movies.
You end up a motion picture actor.
Right.
Though it's funny, with casting, they were pulling off a military basis of Americans that could do anything, anyone that could speak anything, because to bring an American overseas to Bulgaria for four lines of dialogue, they couldn't justify. So there's a lot of very thankful Bulgarians right now.
But as I asked them to bring in every English-speaking person they could, and they raided the American embassy and everywhere else, and I quickly realized in the casting that you're much better off with an actor who doesn't speak English well than a non-actor that does speak English.
I agree 100%.
Because an actor understands how to be in front of a camera and how to act, and you can just replace their voice, where a non-actor is in a panic. And so any actor's better than any non-actor, period. That's the end of my story.
This is Remy's big moment.
United States.
Oh, please.
It's true. The president and all of his men.
Now, this is, of course, a wig on Remy. He had very short hair.
They escaped to a special bomb shelter in the mountains. They live.
They're putting together a fighting force of escaped slaves to begin a revolution for freedom.
What the?
Great delivery. Revolution for freedom.
Since the bombs fell from the sky and the dark time came.
Remy was good. Remy, this is the first thing Remy has ever been in. And his learning curve was extreme. His first day shooting, he was in such a royal panic, he couldn't do anything. And finally, at the end of his first day of shooting, after I'd gone in for close-ups where I couldn't get any reaction at all out of him, I finally had to say, Remy, the model in this movie is out-acting you. So, we'll get to her, the very cute model.
I'm going to dig out of here with a spoon.
So Bruce and I put in these the funny, goofy lines after the script was written, right before we shot, like the scratch my ass with a wooden spoon, all those things. This is kind of nice, real dirt on the wall here. They could actually dig into this.
You get a pair of gloves in this place.
You got to die first, man.
Until someone dies.
I like how, what age is he, Josh, in the movie?
35.
Because will you explain the whole probe thing? Give me a recap.
That they went up in 2009. It took them 20 years to set the probe, which is 2029. And right. Now they're back in 2049.
Right.
So, there you go. And that's all the logic there is.
That's enough. Those are my favorite scenes. Sleepy, sleepy scenes.
Now, this Renee referred to this scene as the perving scene, where she's perving. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, she had a term for it.
By watching these people, and I thought it would be cool to have, when we pan back over to her, she just got closer. But it makes the perving even worse.
Even pervier.
Right. That she would actually get close. What are they doing? Back to your hole, troglodyte.
Dig.
Like those shots, what can I say?
Get a hold of it! Get it up there!
Well, I have to say, Renee is always one of the easiest actresses to work with because I actually like it. So whenever we're supposed to like each other, it's not hard. And that's what's so nice about it. So I've worked with some actresses where you're working all day long to try and get anything going. And she's such a sweet person, and she's very professional and great training. Xena is probably one of the best training that any actor, you know, could have. So she was a great partner. That's all I have to say about that.
She's just so easy to work with.
Yeah.
She actually, when I give her direction, she thanks me.
Most actors are like, what are you coming over here for?
Right. Why are you bothering me? So,
I like those guard towers. You know something bad's going to happen later, though.
Quick, do some medical stuff. I always feel like they're going to hurt people in movies when they do that.
I know. He's going to steal his glove. That's right.
Get the gloves. And this goes by really quickly, that you offer her both of them and she gives you one back. But I thought it was nice. These guys, those are stuntmen. These two guys.
Large stuntmen.
Who had clearly not showered in months. And we'll get to the fight scene, but wow, those guys they're big, burly, strong guys that smelled very strong.
Go. Prepare the body.
This is the same thing, right, Jess? You've got a foreground creature, rubber creature, and then used with digital.
This guy, he had a couple lines that got cut out. Pigs eat the food. This was a fun scene to shoot.
It was fun.
Yeah, it is.
There's sort of a Grapes of Wrath moment. No, they're too timid. They're too proper.
Sad how low people can get. All the oatmeal's gone. Could have used some oatmeal. Testing. Ah, now it is.
Now, Josh, can I bring this up?
Bring up anything.
There were translators for everything. So dealing with the various departments, what was that like?
What
Well, Katya, you brought it up with regarding the outfits. I'd never encountered. She brought me in 50 swatches of white material and asked me which one I like best, and then I chose one. She went, oh, no. No, she couldn't even say it. Her translator said, no, that's too expensive. So then they brought in, I said I chose another one that was too expensive. Finally, I said, why don't you just show me the ones that you can actually afford?
Yeah, why show me something that I can't have?
So, but I've never gone, there was a lot of communication issues.
Because what I found interesting is that the department heads, the older ones, generally could not speak English, and their assistants, the younger ones, could. So you really had to hope that what they turned around and told their boss was what you told them.
Did you enjoy doing this?
This was actually fun, because I like doing scenes where you don't really have to act. You know, the mission was to try and get some food, and everyone else's mission was to keep us from getting food, and it made it very easy and kind of fun, yeah. I scoured, by the way. I knew we were going to do lots of crawling and digging. The standard thing with these action movies, an actor must have his own pads. This is for every actor on the planet.
Knee pads and elbow pads.
Yeah, absolutely. And what they are, I found the best combo is you go to a scuba shop, and you can get these neoprene suits, and you hack them up into little pieces. So although we found out those were $1 million in Sofia, so I got some athletic pads. And what they are is they're, because I knew Josh is going to have us crawling around, scraping around, you're always running, you're always, you know, doing falls and stuff, that it's so much easier. The stunt guys want to give you these pads that look like bricks that you put under your clothing, and it just sucks. So that's my pad story. Very exciting, I know.
I love this scene.
It's a nice scene, yeah.
I think you two just play this scene wonderfully. And it's just nice to have a sweet scene somewhere in the picture.
Renee was all over me.
Yeah. But you play it well, both of you. There isn't enough sincerity in these cheap movies, as far as I'm concerned.
Watch out. Watch out.
Woo! And then this, it's going to tilt up here to the fire, where I put in this provocative little snap in the fire. That took forever!
Right, because it's like a little transition piece. Like a little, the fire is sparking a bit.
Right. The first time Boom Boom, our Bulgarian pyrotechnician, tried to blow the whole cellar up with it, and then each take it got progressively smaller.
Yeah,
he's
Vasco Boom Boom. This guy was literally like 4 feet tall, never had a bad day in his life. You know, always sort of smiling, big, like, bushy beard. Of course, of course. He would always be disappointed in you, you know, Josh, if you wouldn't let him blow up the woods or something.
Like every pyrotechnician in the world.
Yeah, they're eternally disappointed in you because you're just too much of a wimp to really blow stuff up.
Which is why they blew up those 35 bags of cement at the beginning, just to show me.
Exactly. I think there's going to be an altercation with some stuntmen soon.
Uh-huh.
Now, the handy thing, Josh, obviously, is it's smart if you got a guy who's a big thug, you know, these guys in the mill here, why not cast stuntmen?
Right.
It makes perfect sense, because most stunt guys have a clue of basic acting, you know. And then you can beat the crap out of them, you know.
Except these guys, with all due respect, weren't very good at fight scenes, I didn't think. Not like the guys down in New Zealand.
Yeah, those guys are really good in New Zealand.
I mean, they're big, burly guys.
Ouch. Yeah, go, baby, go.
Yeah. We just had to hold Renee back so it didn't turn into a gigantic...
Yeah, she wanted to kill him, I'm telling you.
Yeah, all you get is a drill bit. It really is silly looking.
At least I got a bit. This is a little bit like Bulgarians, though, Josh. I think you've sort of mirrored them, because I was telling someone the other day that you could do the most outrageous thing in the middle of Sofia and no one would look.
Right.
No one would react. And I think it's a holdover of communism where you don't show them, you don't show your cards. I found them to be the most reserved people I've ever run into.
Disappointed.
They were disappointed in me all the time.
They were disappointed in freedom. Just disappointed.
Thanks.
Okay, the story mounts now.
Right, he's joined up.
Yep.
Okay, here's the big continuity shot. These amuse me. Okay, quick, get all this crap off so that everything else we've already shot makes sense.
Exactly. Let's take a moment. Get this stuff off. Now it'll match.
And here comes an alien.
You. And what are you doing?
Green blood. can never have enough green blood.
No, you never can. And, of course, the thing is, being an actor with effects is that you really just have to continue to act because they bring in generally, what, a green screen now, right, Josh? To put behind that they will then put the digital creature on, so you put a mark on the green screen of where the creature would be. But, you know, I think it does integrate pretty well between the digital and the...
But having the rubber guy to look at for the over-the-shoulders, I think, yeah, helped you too, the actors as well, having something to play to.
Definitely, yeah. Whenever we could, looking even at the rubber guy made a big difference.
Now, the guy she just threw the bat and hit in the head, that took 6 tries because for some reason that stuntman didn't want to get hit in the head with a rubber bat.
And so he would, try and hit?
No, they kept saying, don't throw it too hard, you don't want to hurt him. And the bat was made of rubber. I finally had to say, throw it as hard as you can. He's a stuntman, and it's a rubber bat. So it was odd. Did you throw me off a building? Sure. 50-foot drop? Sure. Don't throw a rubber bat at me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Flip me in a car 8 times.
So with this shot, I did my little Three Stooges thing there where he pushes his way. Mo pushes between Curly and Larry.
Out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Horses are always a fun, completely uncontrollable element of movie making. They never want to do what you want them to do, ever, for any reason.
And I like this whole sequence, just by the way, this whole escaping, chasing, running thing here. I thought all kind of went together reasonably well.
Hmm. Right, and our heroes are separated.
Yeah.
Key factor.
And seeing how suddenly you're in a brand new location, but I buy it, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
And this is something I put in that you don't see women characters often enough, in my opinion, who are macho to the extent where she knows how to use a rifle. She's only going to put up with so much crap before she turns around and shoots some of these
guys.
Right,
exactly.
And I'm always tortured in movies. When you got a rifle, shoot them. So, this was did you enjoy going up there?
Yeah, this was an impossible climb. We were never going to get to the top, and Josh would never cut. And so it was great. I was wheezing like an old man by the time we were done with that. Yeah, and Renee is so capable with props and all that sort of stuff. She's perfect for this stuff.
Right. Turn around, shoot the guys off their horses. I believe it.
Turn around so I can see your butt, Renee.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, wasn't that her stunt woman, wasn't she the girlfriend of Ryko, the stunt coordinator?
Yes, she was, and also she was assistant makeup.
Oh, wow, I forgot that part.
Yeah.
See, now my pads helped there, Josh.
I'll bet.
Immensely.
Now, this is way the heck up. This really is, I mean, though that's a, this is where we are. I mean, they legitimately are up 30, 40 feet, I don't know, it's hairy. Now, this little insert of your hand kills me.
Right, see, I have to show frustration in my hand, so I had to do hand acting. Josh and I laugh at that stuff all the time, because it just sort of amuses us.
Good stunt.
It is.
Intercutting back and forth during the stunt was my homage to Sam Peckinpah.
And now, the guys fell into a series of boxes, right?
Yes, many, many boxes, but... then second unit picked up them going into the water.
They're dead, that's for sure.
And I can never get past the original stunt guy there who went, they're dead, that's for sure.
That's for sure, baby.
But wait, they're not dead. Oh no, they're alive. Oh, thank goodness.
Thank goodness that guy who's imitating me is in the water and not me.
Here we are near the shore. Now this is, I can't help the next shot. This is where Remy... the executive producer's son who grew up in Malibu, very, very nice guy, went, the water's really cold. The water's really cold. And Bruce says to him, are you going to tell your dad?
Josh, let's get a heater for the water.
Oh, the water's really cold. You poor guy.
You're breaking my heart, kid. It was fun. Because you know what's funny is that the worst part for me wasn't the cold. It was knowing that this park was in the middle of a major city, and I was just wondering what awful things were flowing through that little river. Had nothing to do with the temperature. Now, that was just a little lean-to built on location, right?
Yeah. And here's Rossi Chernogorova, the top model in Bulgaria, or one of them, and supermodel mega babe, who I thought did pretty well. I thought she really tried, and she was sincere.
Hi, I'm Ivan.
And beautiful.
You know, it's funny, coming into the Sofia airport, she's there waiting for you in a 6-foot stand-up that they had a cutout of her in the airport advertising like some car rental thing. So I met her before I met her. It was like seeing Lucy Lawless doing like the
Phillips.
A travel show and stuff.
I saw her as a stand-up, as a Phillips.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, what's a doctor?
And the girl, and I don't know her name, who looped in the voice for her did a very good job, I thought.
It was a good match.
How sweet.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I must say this, Josh, it was interesting. I was glad that I ran my lines with a Bulgarian, because whenever he would speak back to me, it was always in an accent that I was going to hear on the set, because at first it was very disturbing to think, oh my God, I have to sort of, you know, act with someone who doesn't speak with any of the same cadences or whatever that I do. That's a nice match shot, that thing.
Yeah, and those mountains are real. That's right outside of Sofia. She's in the outfit that she's wearing is stolen from the original Planet of the Apes. It's sort of the Pebbles look, which I appreciate.
Yes, the crew enjoyed that immensely.
The baker, the heavyset fellow there with the line, is the co-casting director, who kept showing me heavyset guys for the baker, and each one I kept saying, if he's not better than you, you're going to have to play this part. And he finally did.
He's a specimen.
This guy was a pretty good actor, I thought.
I thought he was a very good actor, this guy. He had a good look. He completely understood. Now, some actors, Josh, that I work with, you go, you know, you're a good actor, but you don't know what to do in front of a camera. This guy was a combination of both on the right, because, you know, a lot of actors are great actors, but have only done theater and things like that. Acting for film is a completely different beast in many ways. And this guy totally got it. And it was really nice to work with someone who got it in another country. And I think, you know, given their small pool of talent, I think you found some good people, and I was able to mooch them off you.
This scene here, this was the most pages we covered in a single day. This was 8.5 pages.
It's a lot, yeah.
And almost all of it is Bruce talking. It gets to a point where it's big, big speeches, and we really knocked out. We didn't go into overtime or anything. You just blasted through all those giant speeches. That was a tough day.
Yeah, it was a. We made it. We made it through that day.
Just relax. Okay. Give him his adjustment.
Right. So the first, this first use of his skills, which of course he's like a voodoo medicine man to them, you know.
See, in the future, everyone's just got chiropractic problems.
Exactly. Hey, I feel better.
No problem. You'll get my bill.
Anyone Those mountains are really there.
I know. That kills me. It really kills me.
You look like a mad shot.
The great healer. And who owned the land, Josh? Do you have any idea?
No.
Was it a park? We just shot there.
Yeah, it just seemed like a government land.
I have to say, I think George, you know, the production designer, I think he did a good job with everything, every task you gave me, and he always did more. You had to sort of calm him down. And
given he had 10 cents to work with.
Right, right.
You know, in a pile of garbage.
Yeah.
George Costello, who's 6'5", and they had to put little pieces of paper on all the doorways so he didn't bump his head, goes all the way back to the beginning of Russ Meyer's career. In the early 60s, he did Faster Pussycat, Kill Kill, and almost all the Russ Meyer pictures in the 60s.
And wasn't Tommy his prop man with him as well?
Yes, that from Texas. Tommy was very good.
Yeah, who worked on both movies, both Josh's and then mine afterward.
They were an interesting duo.
Yeah, sort of a Mutt and Jeff duo.
No, he didn't.
But it must be challenging, Josh, the same thing. Where do you find stuff in a different country? I mean, in the States, you know where to buy this or that. These guys had to figure it out.
Well, look, the Cascade Mountains aren't that far away.
Good, it was a good match for the Cascades.
Give me one good reason why I shouldn't.
The bounty hunters will track you down and kill you.
That's why.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Big speech. And that line's gone, apparently. The bounty hunters are fags got cut.
Yes, I guess when it aired, there were some complaints about it. And then I think the next screening, it was out.
So it'll only be on this DVD. And just as a note, I have no problem with homosexuals or any sexual orientation. That line is an homage to Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Sean Penn has the line in, those guys are fags. So. Now watch, they both look down at their mark. Wait, watch.
That's excellent. It's a fun hobby to watch actors looking at their marks.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'll catch me in there somewhere.
No. The pros don't get caught, but these two guys standing right next to each other. I'll step forward to my mark.
Now, Josh, I think this looks pretty good. It's just as far as cinematography. I think
David's good.
Yeah.
I think it's lovely.
And he's so no-nonsense, it's unbelievable. He's a minimalist.
He's taken all the nonsense out of it. Just, and you know, the what was his line of, I use it, most EPs have every kind of light made and use every one of them in every shot.
Yeah.
He used almost none. If we were outside, we never used lights.
Yeah. Which I have to say sped it up immensely and actually allowed you to get your days, because how many days did you have for this, Josh?
17 in total.
Wow.
We came in a day early. I was forced into that, but Renee, this was tough getting her up there. It's not one of the easiest things in the world, let me tell you. It doesn't look all that hard, but she's a trooper.
Right, because she still has to hang on, kind of.
This whole thing, it was very difficult. You know, getting these guys to not, like, thunk her down and smash her head, and then they have to drop her in there.
Yosemite!
But, of course, that's another reason why you got Renee, too.
Right. Don't hit her head. And she's fine with the whole thing. That's the stunt girl.
Right. Hide the face. Whatever you do, hide the face.
Well, now, she and the other spaceman killed one of the mice. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
Josh, did you hear that guy's voice?
Yeah.
Guy with the beard on the right?
Yeah.
That was me. I was over working at the studio, and George, the engineer, went, come here, do a voice, will you? So I went, yeah, I want to do a fake voice in Josh's movie. So
thank you.
So we snuck it in there. I hope you don't mind.
Not at all.
I tried to be as out of sync as everyone else.
I think you succeeded. I kind of like this little sequence.
Can't you see we want to grieve?
It's interesting how it interconnects live action puppets.
Right.
That's both live action and digital. Live action with some digital flames, all digital. Hi. You don't see the aliens doing religious things very often in movies.
They're pious people.
You're safe.
Slowest deliveries in history.
And you know what's funny about Renee's been, as a character on Xena, you know, she's been beaten up so many times. I think scenes like this, she's really good at. You know, she's experienced a lot of pain on Xena.
What I'm amused by is it pans over to the extras who have to act a little bit in this. And that's always tough.
It's dangerous, yeah. Having extras act is always it's a gamble.
Here, what are the extras up to?
They're up to a bunch of nothing, that's right.
Act like you're stabbed.
Not bad, though. You got them going a little bit.
I have to tell them specifically. I love that prop. I didn't ask for it. It was just there, and that's a great prop. That shredded flag.
Now, how much of that did they add, Josh? They added the second two-thirds to the right
of the village? Yeah, up the hill a little bit.
Because George had a decent-sized village. It was not a tiny village. There's my man. My Bulgarian serious actor. I like that with the flag. It's a good one. He wishes he could go. He's not man enough.
Not man enough.
He's an F.
So we set out to find the president.
Now, who is this guy, Josh?
I don't know.
Who is this man speaking? Three of us were
convinced that he was up. I'm telling you, they grabbed the security guard. I can't help it. I love this kind of stuff. These rack focuses from Pretty Flowers and things. I'm a sucker for this stuff.
And some of these are our friend Gary Jones.
Oh, it's all
right?
Second unit. This is, look how the guy trying to, and this is the shooting up the butt shot, which I particularly like. Gary got this. That's not even Rossi. If you saw her from in front, you'd gasp. But she has a nice derriere.
Well, it's funny that being in the mountains, there really was quite a nice birch stand there, up there. Lots of water. It wasn't a bad visual match for Oregon.
No, oddly.
You know, once you got up there.
Pretty good squib on this guy.
Good timing, too, because I think half of a squib is when the actor reacts to it. This guy was really a fun character, this actor coming up.
And you used him in Screaming Brain, didn't
I? Did. I stole him as well. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I said I was sorry, okay?
It's, you know, usually it's the core of actors. You got to...
That's right.
The repertoire.
But he was really a sweet kid. He was very enthusiastic. He was, you know, kind of wanted... He was very inquisitive. He kind of loved showing us his English in a way. Even though they dubbed him later.
Yeah. Oh, this, I loved her delivery of this. Potato liqueur. Of course, it's been looped, but...
Potato liqueur.
Potato liqueur.
She has a line that was, I don't know where it is in the movie, but it's the line is, their hopes, their dreams, their faith. And her delivery was, their hoops, their dreams, their feet. I'm like, their feet? What are you talking about?
Their feet?
Their feet.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Okay, let's hold them down.
And you know what's nice, Josh? These actors, I mean, some of them, did these kids all come in with scruffy, or did this kid grow it a little bit for you?
I told them to stop shaving as soon as...
And I have to say, the average actor was so willing there to do really whatever, and it was a pleasure, aside from your astronaut who didn't want to cut his dread.
Right, but I appreciated that.
Yeah. Now we see more skills.
Here's a continuity issue. Look, all the blood on your fingers and the bullet. Sorry, this is... Oh, wait, it's all wiped off.
It's all better now. You know what kills me, too, about acting with blood in general? It has so much dye in it, and here I am in a white suit. So, like, you know, you had to be real careful. Like, don't touch yourself. And then your hands, they get a permanent stain. So
right.
you go for take two and three where it's supposed to be clean. By take three, there's no way. It's under your nails. It's everywhere.
It's like the Starsky and Hutch marks on the road.
That's right. Seeing the rehearsal of the skid marks of the previous take.
The president, he lives. He'll bring freedom to us all.
That's what we keep.
Now, Josh, it's sort of the fun elements of like a magnificent, you know, seven. It's gathering your crew.
Yeah, it's Robin Hood putting his merry men together.
Right, right.
Little John and Friar Tuck. Sort of like a more modern version movie-wise. This is very hard for him to do, to get right into the lens. I don't know why. That's movie acting, and somehow, you know...
Right, it is the difference that a movie actor would kind of know what you have to do, you know, to make something work visually.
Now, this scene, we knocked this scene out in about an hour.
Yeah.
We ran off with a camera and a sound man and a couple of people and a thermos full of fish and knocked this scene out in amazingly fast.
And again, this is that same park that is basically in the middle of the city.
Yeah, the Central Park of Sophia. Yeah. This guy, also, you used him, right?
I stole him. You bet I stole him. And I'll tell you why I stole him, Josh, because exactly what you said. We shot the scene very quickly, and an actor's test is, can you do it under pressure? And I thought he not only did it, he was pretty relaxed about it. And you and I were laughing because the next day I walked by and said, hey, you know, listen, you did that scene really well yesterday. He goes, thank you. I think so, too.
Yes, I did.
I did.
But he's a good actor, and one thing, once again, of him walking straight out of the stream toward you on the correct line.
Yes.
And not slipping and falling and not going off that line to me is very impressive.
And not spending too much time looking down either.
Right.
Because you still got to play to the camera.
Are you sure? No. Are you sure he's alive?
Right, so obviously he's been replaced too, but he was I think he was a legitimate actor.
Can we stop with that President Lives crap, okay? You're not slogan repeating slaves anymore, you're free people. Start acting like it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm with you.
Okay, here he does it. Just walking straight up. You can't tell how rocky and precarious and slippery
right,
this is.
Right, it's a stream bed he had to get out of.
As long as there's water around. I catch him, but I don't much like eating him.
And so his character, Bob the Fisherman, is based on Rob Tappert, who initially co-wrote the story of this film way back when and was the producer of Hercules and Xena, Boogeyman, The Grudge, and loves to fish.
So used Ivan and Bob the Fisherman. Any other character names that's stolen from real people?
Busy is a friend of mine
right.
for a long time,
right.
which stands for Elizabeth. Jeff is based on just an actor who the actor I thought would be good for the part, Jeff Corey, who's
Back in the States.
Yeah, Jeff Corey's dead now. He's one of the great. He was a Meisner acting teacher, and he's in everything. He's the one in. I'm sorry, I'm going off here. In True Grit, you shot me. You're gonna shoot.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I thought he would have been great for that part.
Oh, so you named the character after the actor that you wanted.
Right,
that's a good one.
This is particularly good stuff on Bruce Campbell's part, this scene. I think he plays just the right tone, if I may say so.
Yeah, I practice the drunk stuff all the time, so. Potato liquor.
But playing drunk undermines a lot of actors, I think. Of how drunk are they?
Yeah, Josh and I had to sort of figure out, dial it up, dial it down. You do have to figure that stuff out. It's the same with like teary stuff. You gotta how much you gonna do? How much should you do? Because what's funny is that sometimes you do certain scenes like, for me, tearing stuff. I get these horrible grimaces on my face, and it's not really attractive. So you have to be. It's weird. You have to be careful.
So when people ask me how can there be so much potato liquor in that little jar, and her whole pack is full of those. She's got about six or eight of them.
It's just another one she pulled out.
Right.
Then I joined that stupid space probe mission.
So this is on a long lens shooting through the fire, which I thought worked kind of nicely.
It is, because, you know, I think, Josh, it also helps with the set, too. If you have limited space on a set, it just helps compress everything.
And, once again, this set was probably 12 feet by 6 feet.
This was in the hellhole also.
In the cement basement.
Now he's missing a finger, the poor sap. Oh, was he always or no?
Yeah, so he lost him right at the beginning. That's when you turned and looked at his rubber hand.
Right.
So your hand's made of rubber. Boom. And he's just about to get a kiss, but no. Now, these guys couldn't ride these horses to save their lives.
And, of course, every actor will tell the director, of course I can ride.
I mean, they both said they could ride, and the horse, you see, it's going on.
It's on a skating mission. That horse is gone. That horse will never follow that guy's instructions again. Because with a horse, they go, oh, you can't drive me, can you? Well, then I'm the pilot.
So we're actually up on kind of a slightly precarious ridge here for no particularly good reason. Other than it's pretty, but...
I think it was using all the parts of that area. You know, it was nice that it had... It had meadows and all kinds of stuff. It was a pretty good area to shoot in.
I know you're...
I was a little worried, too, Josh, because...
I had to use you help me here, because now he's not on a horse anymore. He's on...
Oh, right.
Got him up on apple boxes. Bruce gave us some Briscoe County information.
Exactly. That once the horse stops, don't ever put him on the horse. Put him on a ladder.
Had him like that last one. He was sitting on the ground and fell over, and the horse just ran through the foreground.
Right.
So he didn't have to fall off of it.
Right.
My good buddy Paul has given me hell over this scene because you don't pull the arrow out. You push it through, he tells me.
And break it off at the other end or something?
Just push it all the way through.
Mm.
You don't break it off at all. So, obviously, they don't teach chiropractors how to remove arrows properly.
Hey, sorry, man.
Yeah, sure. We got a deal.
See, whatever you do, you don't do this. Ugh.
In the future, you do, though. That's what I heard.
He's a stinking bounty hunter.
Because he's a human, and humans have the ability to change.
I have the Unishave, too, in this movie. Have to fill in a lot more of the gray now, but it's the attachment on the razor that you put. So you actually do shave every morning in order to keep it the same length.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Back to second unit.
They're merry men. They grow. There's more of them now, fighting for freedom.
That's right. Now we've got Robin Hood and all his men. This is the very first scene, very first shot of the shoot. Remember?
Yeah, you can always tell because an actor's hair is always different. My hair is different in this first day of shooting than anywhere else because you're still trying to figure out the look. Sometimes it takes about 3-4 days to figure out how greasy your hair is. You know, is it standing up or sitting down, straight or curly? So I have a little bit of the wet look in these scenes.
Who are you? We're friends and fellow humans.
Oh, here comes our favorite character.
Yeah. This guy was great.
Yeah. Todor.
Todor.
Is his name. And you know what's so funny about it? I went to a party at his house, Josh.
Yeah.
He dresses in disco clothes at home. Like brightly striped pants and like polka dot shirts. He's kind of this crazy guy. But he's really, he's an actor who really enjoys what he does.
And of course his voice was replaced.
But now, do you think you could have kept him, for example? Do you think he's one guy that you could have, or did he still sound too weird?
Just why would anyone have a Bulgarian accent? If we're in Oregon.
Right, did he still, but do you think he, because he was trying to get rid of it, I noticed. He probably still had too much.
Yeah. But I like the fact that the actors during the shoot were trying to convince me to not replace their voices.
Because they were sounding so good?
That they were trying to give me science fiction reasons.
That in the future people would sound differently?
Well, they took people, they were explaining to me that the aliens had taken prisoners from all over the world.
I see.
So and put them into this camp in Oregon.
Oh, yeah, that's a stretch.
Right. So thus, we didn't need to replace their voices.
Wrong.
Dembski's the one they're talking about. Sure. I know where he is. You do?
Very tough getting that thing to stay up so you could see his eyes. That was a difficult costume.
Right, because he's got to be hunched over, but then he's got to keep his face up, but then he has a hood.
And a wig.
He has probably the biggest fright wig of the movie. And I like the guy.
I thought he played this scene very well.
Yeah.
And we left his laugh. It's his real laugh in here, his snorting laugh.
Right, he had this weird snort that he would do.
The tanks and the howitzers for the president's fighting force are hidden over here.
What?
Major, look!
That's his real voice.
Oh, my God. I love the fact that this strange man is cracking jokes in the middle of all this, too.
And this is an old restaurant here. It's still working. We had to...
And we ate outside this place,
yeah.
Right?
We got this location. This is the last day of shooting. Interesting that we go from the first to the last day.
Which is typical in movies, but, you know, shooting everything out of whack.
This guy was the worst actor that ever lived.
We weren't really sure what was going to come out of his mouth. You really didn't know. You didn't know where he was going to walk. You didn't know where he was going to stop.
New York. Who's this?
You're nothing now.
So you kind of had to just be alert. You always have to be really alert with actors who don't know what's happening. Because you don't... they're completely unpredictable.
This is it. The whole Washington, D.C. bunch.
I kind of like these extras. I think they look good.
Senators, congressmen...
Whole story there with this crazy woman with her doll.
Well, you know, Bulgaria is pretty good for this sort of casting, too.
Yeah, everybody looks that way.
Yeah, everyone has kind of a grim look.
And the women are gorgeous.
Yeah, that's fairly astounding, wasn't it? Not that I would notice.
Ah, so now we do the big Steadicam move all the way in to reveal our big character actor. Initially, Hal Holbrook, then James Whitmore. But those guys weren't good enough, so we got Peter Jason.
The funny thing is, Josh, I work with him. We both auditioned for a commercial about 15 years before to play a security guard. I think he got it. I'm sure he got it. And then I was in a very one-day scene with him about 7 years after that. So, like, every 7 years I run into Peter Jason, who is in every other movie ever made.
He's on Deadwood now. He's a regular.
Why is everyone so interested?
And he was one of the two. Him and Stacy Keach were the two cops in Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke.
And, of course, I used Stacy in my next film that was going. So there's an obvious connection, I think, through Jeff Franklin.
Who did the Mike Shane, the Mike Hammer...
Right.
Things with Stacy, and I'm
right.
Sure I'll bet Peter Jason was on that.
I'll bet he was too.
I know this embarrasses you, Bruce, but you pull these scenes off very well, I think.
I appreciate it. I think the trick is you know, with this sort of stuff, if you have sincere dialogue, man, it's like a car salesman. You gotta believe what you're saying. If you don't, you're dead as an actor, I think.
I'm not leading a rebellion, I'm not leading anything.
And Peter, I have to say, this guy was sort of bigger than life. He really, an outgoing, like a joker. He had to, like, settle him down to get him ready to shoot to play the president, you know?
But he goes for it. He's
yeah.
To me, he's wonderful, just because you don't have to get him up to speed. He's always up to speed.
Yeah, that's right. That's
you have right. to kind of go, okay, you can bring it down a little bit. But that's a good actor, as far as I'm concerned, that they don't, you know...
I agree. Josh, that was one of my favorite lines in the whole thing. Look at that. That's not coming out about the alien crap on his uniform. He's going to piss it because that stain is never coming out. I love that. In the middle of talking to the president, he says that.
No, it won't be me.
It's getting nicely lit.
Yeah, it is. It's nice.
I have no more. I'm through.
I'm a painter now.
I'm a lover, not a fighter.
My friend, the woman I love is being held captive back at the sawmill, and I have to get her out.
Now, who's with me?
It's kind of funky blocking. I did it to you in that other scene with where you have to keep pivoting, which isn't easy.
Yeah, I understand, though. But it's, to me, sometimes it's okay because I feel like I'm, you know, a little bit of movement. Sometimes it's cool.
I think it kind of looks good going in and out of the over the shoulders.
Yeah.
But it's odd blocking.
Freedom! Freedom!
Well, we got one of them.
Look, I changed my mind. All together now. Freedom!
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 I'm sorry, I have to finish my painting.
I got a note. Why does it take two people to move these things? Because it does, okay?
Okay. Because it says so in the script.
In the script, I envisioned big timber.
Right.
That's what I got.
Now, Josh, wasn't this wood rented?
Yes, from another sawmill. As was the sawdust.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, everything was rented sawdust.
Well, it's very valuable in Sofia.
This was a scene I added quite late for Sci-Fi Channel that said, could we get another head biting off somewhere early on? I went, yeah, we can do that.
May we have another death, please?
This is a scene. This is an homage to The Great Escape, where you have that the Scottish guy who just decides goes wire happy.
Oh, and, I got to get out of here! Yeah,
and they just shoot him in the wire. Here, of course, in the future, you get your head bit off.
Oh, baby. Oh, man. Oh, it's so disgusting. So disgusting.
Ooh, I love them going down their throat. Back at our wacko set here, right in that park, center of Sofia.
And what is it? Just a did they add the front there?
Just that little wooden piece.
Right.
The back of it is the back of that restaurant. There's a restaurant in the center of the park, oddly. And back to this is the first day of shooting again.
Right, because I had the wet look again. Well, and it's funny, Josh, obviously shooting out of continuity, you had to be able to have suits that had, you had to figure out where to put the green stuff on the suit. You had to figure out what he had already done, how dirty should the uniform be. Because it's funny, when you're shooting, obviously your knees are going to get what they get during the course of the day. You never really know, so it's always guessing. And people love to make fun of continuity in movies. And they can all kiss my butt, because it's really difficult, and you have to do the best you can, because shooting out of continuity sometimes makes the most sense.
By starting that day with every single character in whatever continuity they'd all been through, having been shot, having been spewed, it was very difficult to just start shooting.
Right, because before you could even shoot, you had to like look around and go, okay, what's going on with who?
So the doctor on the set, after we shot this scene, came up to me and said, the Bulgarian doctor went, that would have killed him. He would have been crippled, or you would have killed him.
He was very disappointed in you, Josh.
But no, it made him better.
Made him better. It made my wig better.
See? You're not even that short. I don't think you qualify as a dwarf or a...
Who looped you?
I don't know. Thank Mr. Sinky Sink. Don't mention it. It was nice to meet you. I got ahead of myself.
Well, catch you on the flip-flop.
Wait. Can I go with you?
Can I be part of your merry group, too?
Can I go with you?
Glad to have you.
Okay.
He was a fun actor. I liked him. I liked all these actors, I have to say. There were very few.
Although the extras in the back were really dense.
Yeah, the two hippie extras who had the real hair. But they obviously had the best hair.
This is where their hope, their faith, their feet...
Their feet... think Joe captured that kind of big, important, adventurous type score.
But their beliefs, their hope, their faith.
Their feet.
Their feet. You know what?
Their feet.
Now, Josh, this is continuing our 8-page day.
Right.
So it's all done on that same day. So now it's time for speech number 2.
And we got that extra in the foreground that you warned me against.
Yeah, I tried to warn you. This guy to the right, he was a little out of control. But God bless him, he was enthusiastic.
And there, and participating.
Yes, you just had to calm him down, which was probably better. But why is his face green? I'm not really sure about that.
And he was really scratching the bugs out of his hair, but we cut that out, Jen, for the most part.
Yeah, he was doing a lot of scratching that day.
He heard that Marlon Brando scratched, and
here's our casting director again.
The only rebel army is standing right there in front of you. Now, we will fight for freedom.
What's the guy on the right that you use, the big guy?
Vladimir.
Vladimir.
Yeah.
He kind of looks to me in this sequence, he looks sort of like George Harrison.
Really?
I don't know why. Wait, it'll cut back to them.
Valley and wait for someone to bring you freedom, you are still slaves. Freedom only comes to those who are willing to fight for it. Now, who will join us?
I find myself in movies often trying to get people to help me, and no one goes with me.
Right. Not till later.
No, I'm just a loser, I guess. Oh, well. She's very attractive, though. There were a lot of guys who were falling for her.
But wait, it goes back, and I'm telling you, he looks just like George Harrison, Vladimir.
You must join us.
Okay, now we go back. Desiree says he won't fish in you. He's going to go fishing.
This is stupid. Right. He does look like George Harrison. There's not enough of us to do anything. I'm going off on my own.
Right.
I'm not going to be part of this band anymore.
I'm going to go jam with Clapton.
I'll be the whole rebel army myself if I have.
Go ahead and go.
So what was your driver's name?
Kiro.
Kiro. He had to run in with Rossi.
Oh, really?
Well, just that he was unimpressed. He was showing her how unimpressed he was.
Oh, I see.
Because he was impressed.
Oh, I see.
So he was going to show her that he didn't care. Whereas me, anytime she got near me, my knees got weak.
Ah, blue night lighting. Ah, Rossi.
This is where he had to convince David to get out like one gel out of his truck.
And a light.
He's like, oh, come on.
It took him about 2 minutes to set the light up. The exact same set with a rock on it now, or a stump. Clear everything else away. Same shot of the moon as in the opening montage.
Oh, is it the same one?
Yeah, stolen from somewhere.
Just be okay. Be okay. Okay? Okie dokie?
Okie dokie.
Uh-oh. Trouble now.
What's he doing down there?
Something horrible, I think, is going to happen here.
These are touchy scenes to shoot.
Yeah, they're weird because it's like, what? You know, the guy's got to make, like, contact. He's all over, and even though it's faking, it's still strange. This is where Remy had to do his first stunt, I think. You know something's going to happen.
What's wrong?
Well, I have the advantage in dark scenes, at least. I've got a white suit on. You can find me everywhere.
But I couldn't. Is that true?
What of it? She's used to it. She's a slave. That's how it's done here.
I have to say, Josh, it was a costume that I liked wearing every day. A lot of movies I work on where the costume just isn't fun, or there's like 19 costume changes during the course of a day. This was it. You either have a sort of a grungy suit, a cleaner suit, a completely clean suit. I think I had 3 suits in different phases.
So Jeff Franklin looped him even though he's American because he didn't like his performance.
Hey, scumbag, you forgot something.
Uh-oh.
What?
Yikes.
You never go wrong with that whip pan to the...
No, and it's really a fun sort of a... I'm sure you use it, and I did certainly on Xena and Hercules.
How else are you going to do it?
I know, yeah. What, shoot him with an arrow?
Wire rigs take a million years.
Yeah, exactly.
You enjoyed that crossbow, didn't you?
Oh, I loved it. Loved it as a prop. Very light, very easy to use. Funny thing was, the strap, it was one of these dumb situations where it just kept slipping off my back, so I had to loop it over my shoulder. It's like carrying a baby in every scene. But
with sharp points.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
These two had to go for it now.
They did their best.
Yeah.
Every one of my commercial breaks got changed. Every one of them.
I think mine did too, actually, because it's strange. In television, I think, to explain, I mean, the reason why you have sort of seven, eight acts is because you have to go to commercials. And when you write the script, you try and build it in. And I know you had them all in there, Josh, of, you know, it usually ends on something dramatic. Dun, 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 she's captured or they're killed or whatever. And then Sci-Fi Channel determines ultimately how much they want at the beginning and how much they stack up the commercials at the end.
So that was a lovely Steadicam shot by Lorenzo, the Italian Steadicam operator, who I thought was very good.
And that was kind of a luxury to get a Steadicam in Bulgaria. I remember he was one of the few guys who was there, and he seemed to always work. So it was a real... scheduling him was like scheduling a special effect.
Or an actor, or a big actor.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Josh, I think you should tell the thing with the arrows.
Well, actually, that comes up the next time, because it didn't happen...
Oh, it didn't happen in this batch?
See, it's the next time.
The next wave.
Right.
All right.
Now, suddenly there's like 10 times more people than there were. Then they have that battering ram. Now they're not there. Now there's... Oh, wait, now there's the rest of them.
Uh-oh.
What?
I thought it was a weird man. It's good to see you, but you're maimed.
I don't like you as much because you're missing a finger.
This is always fun. These are days where you have, like, most of these were sort of air cannons, right? These were big Vasco Boom Boom days.
Right.
He was very happy on these days.
Those are miniature piles of wood, by the way. Anytime you see a giant pile of wood exploding, it's a miniature. Gary did those.
And it's put closer to the camera? Is that the deal?
Correct. See how far she can pull that back?
Bughouse is going to go.
Yep. Nothing like working with flaming arrows and extras.
Yeah, boy, it's a volatile mixture.
But all this, explosion stuff was a real pain.
Yeah, because you got to set them up. You have to test where it goes, and you have to test how much crap is in there. Are you going to blind the actors with the stuff that comes out? So they usually put innocuous stuff like, you know, powders and things, but it still goes right in your face.
And with the Vasco Boom Boom, every one of them was too big the first time to go, okay, I can't see anything.
Right. Where did my actors go?
Anyway, we should mention Unreal Productions that did the digital effects, I think, really came through.
And they had, Josh, how many effects in total? There's
135.
Yeah.
A lot of digital effects, particularly for a TV movie.
Now, I should bring this up in your favor, Josh, that you storyboard everything.
Everything in this, yeah.
Every shot. Which obviously the effects guys have to have in order to do it. Because in sequences like this, I have to say, I saw an early version of this movie, and if you didn't have the storyboards, you wouldn't know which shots go where. In many cases, you know, before these special effects were all done. Yeah, exactly. I got nailed.
And that's a physical effect.
Right, which is good. It's good to combine them all, I think. You kind of keep throwing different stuff.
Now, this is Vasco's biggest explosion.
This was his favorite day ever.
Blowing Bruce's voice out.
Yeah, exactly. It's very important to do that. Now, you had, right, and there were some just regular rubber ones that you could put around, right?
Yeah.
You had a certain supply of creatures, movable and immovable. See, that's not bad, because you're actually cutting directly between the rubber ones and the digital, and it's not bad.
No. Because Gary designed the creature and built it, and then they based the digital effects on his creature.
Which is probably the only way to do it, because didn't they scan something that he did?
Yes, they digimapped or photographed it from every possible angle, and then they made their own changes to it, but it made them the same. Oh, right, so we were early on the explosion.
Right, doesn't blow up yet. Oh, darn, I have to hug Renee again.
Right. Wait, I do one of the voices here. I do the guy with the long gray hair and the beard.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
What are we doing? I know. Let's just kill them bastards. Let's throw them into the fire.
There I am.
Was that you?
Yeah.
Throw them into the fire. That was good.
Thank you.
Had a lot of passion in it.
Thank you.
Feed them to the fish.
These are the first moments of freedom many of you have ever experienced.
A wise leader.
I've got to give a speech now about tolerance, beauty, joy, happiness.
And she had to remove that thing because she doesn't have it for any other scene after it, so...
See, by there we figured out my hair. It's probably the last day of shooting. We went, that's how to do the hair. You know, so I go from the wet look to here. This is what we're looking for, but it takes a while to get there.
Put him in the guardhouse. Just the entire shoot. They'll be safe in the guardhouse.
What could possibly go wrong?
Now, if we'll notice that crossbow on his back, it's all just sharp, pointy things, and which was great when you had to run.
Yes, and with true Bulgarian craftsmanship, it weighs 700 pounds.
Hey, he said we could take the sawmill, and we did. The doctor knows.
My big steady cam shot.
Yeah, these are all tricky because, you know, actors have to be in sync with the movement of the camera and, you know.
President!
I think it works pretty well because it's a way of covering some ground and you're not, it's not just people standing there, you know. And in 17 days, you kind of have to shoot. Wasn't it raining by now, though?
It was raining every day.
And I think that whole sawmill turned into kind of a mudslide. You fell down on
every day.
Every day. On location, Josh.
Look,
scouting
locations.
Your nipples
are erect.
I wasn't saying, Josh.
Wait, I have another line.
Heaven on earth is here.
That was me.
Is it? That was you? Wow, you did two completely different characters.
No, it's the same guy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. You had great joy in your voice.
Thank you. Comes our big alien vehicle.
Exactly.
I like the way Unreal, the digital, first of all, the way it's leaving a rut in the road, I think is nice. But the way the rockets, that worked pretty well too.
Yeah.
Those are the real gates getting knocked down. The way the rockets come out and don't go straight, I rather liked. Joe LaDuca, big music there.
Give up immediately. Do not attempt resistance.
And the funny thing is, Josh, it's not just one shot of one alien. You have, like, shots with, like, seven aliens doing stuff in a shot, too. These guys were busy. It was a busy job for Unreal. I like the blur on the tread. Because it helps it kind of, you know, you get that strange backward motion when something moves fast.
Yeah, here we go. Now, the two shims. I love these two shims. Huh? What's
what?
That?
What's going on?
Whoa!
Oh, that's all right.
Vasco's big explosion.
Vasco, happy Vasco. Now, Josh, now can I go boom, boom? Yes, Vasco. Now you can go boom, boom. Oh, my God.
He really went for
it.
Yeah,
he did. He totally went for it. And those little air mortars were pretty close from behind. Because the cool thing is, from behind, you can put them closer because you're not going to blow anyone's eye out. Uh-oh, more of these sidewinders. The bug outs.
And working with those big flame
deals. Yeah, right. You have to decide how much flame, where do you put it, how close to the actors. More miniatures, right? More of these...
Gary pulled that one right out of his butt with nothing, no budget, nothing.
Hey, there's the rented sawdust. Did you see the guy hit the rented sawdust?
That had to be returned.
That cleaned and returned.
I got yelled at for messing with that pile of sawdust.
It had green goo on it by the end of the day.
Now, in a movie where there isn't much logic, this to me is kind of pushing things, that all of our lead characters are okay, just covered with stuff. But
right.
You know.
And what's funny about actors... Okay, now you're recovering. See, you've been through a war. 7 out of 10 will cough as they get up.
There's one. Yeah. Oh, there's another.
I'm sure I do it 8 times.
Oh, they're all doing it. Endless supply of aliens.
So, Josh, obviously, on location, they shot the background of the woods.
Yeah.
Right? So it's the woods, the location, adding bugs.
Right, and then we start to get into both of you in the same frame.
Right.
Never before have we encountered an armed revolt.
So there's a variety of... There's the live-action guy.
Now, did you put that on a little dolly?
Yeah.
So that he could move back and forth? I think Vladimir had a good expression there. He was definitely playing that thing as real.
He's your leader. If I don't get it...
That'd be me in front of a green screen, looking at a mark on the wall.
To kill all of you. Kill all of you. Now speak up. I suspect that it is you.
I'm the leader, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And, of course, we have our homage to Spartacus. No, I'm Spartacus.
No, I'm the leader.
No, I'm Spartacus.
No, it's me.
Heck no, I've always been the leader here.
I'm the leader. No, it's me. No, actually, I'm the leader.
No, I'm the leader.
No, I'm the leader.
There, see, you heard my voice in there? No, I'm the leader.
Did you do that one, too?
Yeah, it's the same act. It's that same...
You had to keep continuity on that guy, didn't you?
Right. I just did him. So.
See, I got the dry look hair going again for this.
But I will use my own...
And, of course, that's the regular... That's the rubber creature.
I believe you, and I sentence you to be executed.
Because you got the whitest suit. You got the white outfit.
No! 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 No!
No! Stop grabbing me.
Now, Josh, that was two guys in what? Green suits?
Blue suits.
Blue suits.
We have to do blue because they're green.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, so right. So at least that helped me fight against something. Otherwise, it would have been nothing. And so you had these two kind of big guys, right, in these spandex suits that it really helped. And then they would obviously remove everything blue, put the creatures in over it. But... It helped me a lot. That sort of stuff helps tremendously of trying to... Because otherwise you have to fake struggle with someone.
You are an exception. Kill him now.
Right, so that's in front of a blue screen there.
Right.
Gotcha.
Now here we go. Now the arrows, the prop department didn't put the little notch in the back of the arrows... So that the string would fit in, every one of them is dropping their arrows.
Or flying, like it stabs someone's eye.
Oh, there's mine. They're just falling. And, and there's Peter Jason again. We shot everything with Peter in one day, which was the last day of the shoot.
And now I think on that day, it also rained tremendously, and you had like 5 minutes to shoot that attack scene.
I know Peter thinks I'm slightly unhinged. But I think that last day of shooting was the single worst day of shooting on it.
Mm.
All the costumes were coming out wrong. They were all new when they were supposed to be old. And
Right. And rain on top of it.
And it rained and...
Yeah, it didn't want to be finished.
So now we're here to go into the killing montage.
Green goo. This is where I'm done shooting everything else for the day, so they send me over to the other unit to get completely covered with green crap. I thought the spewing worked very well.
Mm-hmm.
Gary's good at spewing creatures. Come on, Renee. There you go, baby. Suck on that, alien. This cracks me up. I don't know why I laugh so much at that. Him flipping off the aliens. Good throws. Oh! Ouch. I like how the little men got blown out. More goo. My driver, Kiro, brought his son to the set, and I entertained him for easily 6 hours with a cup of goo and a stick. He kept pulling it up. Oh! Oh!
That was another one added for Sci-Fi Channels.
For their enjoyment?
Yeah.
I like that. I stabbed the guy quick because I had to move on to get to the next guy.
But the reason I put this whole thing in, I love this shot, this second unit shot. You can't kill enough. You just don't get to see this stuff. Whenever you're fighting aliens or whatever, it's always dark and you can't see what's going on, and then they like get shot out of a porthole or something. And
right.
I want to see these things get chopped to pieces and spew green blood. And you just don't get enough of that in sci-fi movies. Yeah, stick it right in the head.
Yeah, Renee got just little splatters fairly soon. All right, the aftermath here.
Right. And thus he's been changed.
That's right. He's no longer the Weisenheimer.
And those are practical effects. Those are real ones sitting there with you, but now it'll do a little dissolve and go up into the digital effect.
Right. Still with me, more digi creatures. So what percentage just around us was the
just
real
just like
stuff?
Three of them, yeah.
Right.
Those are the real ones. Everything else was added.
It's a good match. See the knees, for example? You never know during the course of a day what's going to happen to your outfit in movies like this.
So, Bruce, you added the handshaking gag all the way through it, which pays off here.
Right, that he's shaking. You know, no one will shake hands with him. Now a guy finally wants to shake hands with him, and he won't. Because the president was a wuss.
And you're too freaked out.
He's gone over to the dark side.
Tell everyone to get some rest.
We've lost him.
We go to a new sawmill tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
You love imitating that. I like his JCPenney jacket from 1972.
Yeah.
He had the kind of jacket that if it got wet, it got really soggy.
Yeah, that didn't... Not...
And it is.
It is really soggy.
I won't shake his hand. Sorry, Mr. President.
Must be because I'm a Republican.
Now, this is another one of these sort of choreographed deals, right?
Yeah, same.
Didn't you have to do like 7 of these in one day?
Well, but the thing is that senator initially had lines at the beginning of it. He was so bad.
Right, you had to go to plant B.
And cut him off the head of this thing, which was the editor's idea.
Oh.
Sean.
Right, because if you have one
erect nipples. Oh.
If you have one guy who's a weak link in a shot like this, you can't cut around it.
Now watch as the camera goes up here. He's going up on boxes with a steady cam. He's going up,
Right, in order to get the final shot. Right, started on... That's a nice shot. And I'll tell you, Josh, it is a feat. To get that many Bulgarians cheering, it's a feat. And the next day, except the hippie guy. He's not doing anything there.
And after another desperate battle, we freed that
soldier. Now this is the mysterious man speaking again.
Right, him grown up, I guess. We went on to liberate all the... And here's our final special effect.
Now, what's added? The people on the hill?
Well, they're different. They're two different shots.
Oh, there's my goose stuff, Judge. This is the final. This is where I know that it's my last shot of the day, and they're going to just... The one guy, I get it in the mouth coming up here. It's horrifyingly disgusting.
Waged and won with multitudes of aliens killed. The great exterminator.
That's right. The great healer becomes the great exterminator.
So he took our 12 extras and just kept sending them through.
Unreal. The end.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Well, Josh, it was a pleasure to be here with you on Alien Apocalypse.
Yes. I enjoyed making the film very much.
Get ready for Alien 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Remember Bono Bonev, our...
Yeah.
Location manager, always in a suit and tie.
Always in a suit and tie. Never spoke a word of English to me, ever. And I thanked him later after we were done filming. I said, I know you did a lot, but we never spoke. But thanks.
Jeff Franklin's company.
Freshwater Entertainment.
Thank you, Joe LaDuca.
The end. Goodbye.